cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, who is my help and my God. Section 1 in our hymnals contains a portion of Psalm 100. Let us give our thoughts in worship to thinking upon this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Be seated. Let us join in prayer. Eternal God, our Father, this is a sacred, responsible moment. We have come to worship. Grant that it may be in spirit. Grant that it may be in truth. We would pray for concentration of our thoughts, for relaxation of our bodies, for the yearnings of our spirits. Teach us to enjoy thee in this moment and in the hours which follow and forever. We are aware of some of the temptations which beset us, especially in this place. Our preoccupation, our haste, our weariness, our knowledge, our lack of knowledge, all of these sometimes separate us from thee. Forgive us, teach us new ways to know thee. Let us worship in our living here together. We receive many blessings in this place, some before we even know them as blessings, and we give praise for these. Teach us how to worship as we receive. Teach us to worship as we share. Not ourselves, but thy grace. We think of many in our own personal families, of many in this larger seminary family, of many in the family gone out from us who need thee in special ways. We do not know what to offer them. We do not know how to pray for them, but we know that thou art God, and we commit them to thee in this moment, and ourselves in being their friends. We think of the responsibilities which are ours in a special way, beginning today and tomorrow, and through Sunday. Again, we pray that we may learn of thee, that we may receive, that we may worship, and that we may lead in the spirit of worship. Teach us in thy way, and we pray because of Jesus. Amen. Last summer, in another seminary, I heard the reading of a poem by the French Catholic writer Peguy. I was startled with the hearing. As it continued, I wanted sometimes to hear, but then I didn't want to hear. I could not get away from it, and so I have had several readings after hearing it and after searching for it. It has brought new a hope and a new vision and new worship to me. I offer it to you that it might, perhaps, bring this to you. In this particular poem, these words are translated from the French, Peggy speaks of God in a monologue concerning sleep. I don't like the man who doesn't sleep, says God. Sleep is the friend of man. Sleep is the friend of God. Sleep is perhaps the most beautiful thing I have ever created. And I myself rested on the seventh day. He whose heart is pure sleeps. And he who sleeps has a pure heart. That is the great secret of being as indefatigable as a child, of having that strength in the legs that a child has. Those new legs, those new souls, and to begin afresh every morning, ever new, like young hope, new hope. But they tell me that there are men who work well and sleep badly, who don't sleep. What a lack of confidence in me. It is almost more serious than if they worked badly and slept well, than if they did not work but slept, because laziness is not a greater sin than unrest. It is not even so great a sin as unrest and despair and lack of confidence in me. I am not talking, says God, about those men who don't work and don't sleep. Those men are sinners, to be sure. They have what they deserve, great sinners. It's their fault for not working. I am not talking about those who work and don't sleep. I pity them. I am talking about those who work and who in this obey my commandment, poor children. And who, on the other hand, lack courage, lack confidence, and don't sleep. I pity them. I have it against them, a little. They won't trust me. Like the child who innocently lies in his mother's arms, thus do they not lie innocently in the arms of my providence. They have the courage to work. They have not the courage to be idle. They have enough virtue to work. They lack enough virtue to be idle, to stretch out, to rest, to sleep. Poor people, they don't know what is good. They look after their business very well during the day. But they haven't enough confidence in me to let me look after it during the night. As if I wasn't capable of looking after it during one night. He who doesn't sleep is unfaithful to hope, and it is the greatest infidelity, because it is infidelity to the greatest faith. Poor children, they conduct their business with wisdom during the day, but when evening comes, they can't make up their minds. They can't be resigned to trust my wisdom for the space of one night with the conduct and the governing of their business. As if I wasn't capable, if you please, of looking after it a little, of watching over it, of governing and conducting and all that kind of stuff. I have a great deal to look after, poor people. I govern creation. Maybe that is more difficult. You might perhaps, and no harm done, leave your business in my hands, O wise men. Maybe I am just as wise as you are. You might perhaps leave it to me for the space of a night, while you are asleep at last, and the next morning you might find it not too badly damaged, perhaps. The next morning, it might not be any worse, perhaps. I may yet be capable of attending to a little. I am talking of those who work, and who in this obey my commandment and don't sleep, and who in this refuse all that is good in my creation. Sleep, all the good I have created, and also refuse my commandment just the same. Poor children, what ingratitude towards me to refuse such a good, such a beautiful commandment. Poor children, they follow human wisdom. Human wisdom says, don't put off until tomorrow what can be done the very same day. But I tell you that he who knows how to put off until tomorrow is the most agreeable to God. He who sleeps like a child is also he who sleeps like my darling hope. And I tell you, put off until tomorrow those worries and those troubles which are gnawing at you today and might very well devour you tomorrow. Put off until tomorrow those sobs that choke you when you see today's unhappiness, those sobs which rise up and strangle you. Put off until tomorrow those tears which fill your eyes and your head, flooding you, rolling down your cheeks, those tears which stream down your cheeks. Because between now and tomorrow, maybe I, God, will have passed by your way. Human wisdom says, woe to the man who puts off what he has to do until tomorrow. And I say, blessed, blessed is the man who puts off what he has to do until tomorrow. Blessed is he who puts off. That is to say, blessed is he who hopes and who sleeps.